Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, April the 10th, 1983. May the Lord bless each one of us as we fellowship together in this service, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be seen and uplifted, that He would be magnified. May the Lord bless each one of you to live for the Lord and follow Him wherever He would lead. God bless you.
Scripture this morning is Titus 2:11-15. Turn to your Bibles. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldliness, lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this great present world. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that we might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let us look to the Lord this morning in prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We're so thankful that it's the day you've made and that we can be in the house of the Lord on this Sabbath day. Pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will be present with us here on this day. We're so thankful that we can know that God is good and His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth through all generations. We're so glad that we can know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know not a day, Lord, that God commendeth His love toward us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we are so thankful that we can know that You're with us. You guide us and direct us and keep us. Keep us in love all the days through our life. We're so thankful that we can know that You're present with us. You will never leave us and forsake us. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask this prayer. Amen.
As I wake up with the dawning of each day that passes by, and I listen to the sounds upon my ear, I can't help but keep a watch toward eastern skies, and I wonder if the trumpet will be the next sound that I hear.
Coming of the Lord is one of the wonderful doctrines of the Bible. I know as long as I've been in this world and gone to Sunday school and so forth, people have talked about the coming of the Lord. And He's coming. The Bible says, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man coming. And I believe today if we thought more about the coming of the Lord, we would be better prepared for this event. We would have our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We'd be out witnessing more by the life that we live. Looking for the blessed hope. We were practicing the other night on the song that the choir sang this morning. It may be at morn. This past Monday evening, I don't know why I had such a terrible headache, but I did. And the Lord seemed to bring this verse, one of these verses that Brother Combs read for us today, looking for the blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13, that'll be our key verse today. Looking for the blessed hope. It's a wonderful truth this morning to know that Jesus is coming again. He's coming again to rapture the church home. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the last part of that verse, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I call that eternity. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." We'll have all the time that we need. The Gardeners sometimes sing a song entitled "The First Million Years." Time will never run out because time will be no more. It'll be eternity. The last chapter of Revelation, it says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Chapter 21 it is of Revelation. And there was no more sea. Someday, friends, the earth that we live on is going to burn up. Not until the 7 years of tribulation after the church is raptured, the 7 years of tribulation, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. Then the earth is going to be burned up. And time will be no more. And John saw there a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the new Jerusalem. You know what, friends? We have a lot to look forward to as a Christian. Looking for the blessed hope. Are you ready this morning for the rapture of the church? The church is going to be caught away. It's going to be caught up. Those of our loved ones who died in the Lord are going to be resurrected. They are a little ahead of us right now. They're going to be resurrected out of their grave with a brand new body. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "And to every seed its own body." And then we're going to be caught up if we're living on this earth when Jesus comes. Be caught up to gather with them to meet the Lord in the air. Are you ready for the rapture? Have you been washed in the precious blood of Christ? If you haven't, there's no better time than this morning to come to know the Lord. And have your sins blotted out, washed away. It's a sure coming. It's the surest thing I know today that Jesus is coming again. It's sure. There are a lot of things that may be unpredictable, that may never come to pass, but my friends, the Lord is coming. It's a sure coming. It's going to be a sudden coming. It's going to be a separating coming. I'd hate to be separated forever for my youngest brother who is still unsaved. As you know, there's 11 children in my mom and dad's family. Dad's been with the Lord since 70. My mom's not doing too well right now. But I know my mother's prayer is that my baby brother, her baby son, will get to go up at the rapture. But you know what? Heaven is going to be heaven. But how much better it would be if all of our household were saved. If every one of us were ready to meet the Lord in peace. If your loved ones are lost, be praying for them. We need to be witnessing to them. Because the Bible tells us that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. someone wrote a little chorus that goes like this. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening, so keep your heart in tune. Jesus is coming. And I wonder if we're looking for the blessed hope. Fanny Crosby wrote over 6,000 gospel songs and became blind at the age of 6 weeks. But she never became bitter. I don't believe you'll find one song that Fanny Crosby wrote that has one note of sadness in it. She was looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a man, a preacher, one day said to Fanny Crosby these words, "I think it's a pity that the Master did not give you sight when He shared your life with so many other gifts." You know what Fanny Crosby said? "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should have been born blind?" And the surprised preacher said, "Why?" "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." What a testimony. One day she was asked to give a testimony in a revival service. D.L. Moody asked her to give a testimony. She arose and said these words, "There's one hymn that I've written which has never been published. And I would like to read that one hymn tonight. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story, saved by grace." At the age of 95, Fanny Crosby went home. She was looking for the blessed hope. She knew the Lord. My friend, knowing His grace here is but a foretaste of seeing His face over there. In one of the verses that Brother Earl read in their devotional in Sunday school says, in John 14:3, "If I go away," and He went away, He said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's three things we'd like to look in the message this morning. First of all, the blessed hope should cause us to live a more godly life, a more pure life, as we look up each day. Here in the verses that Brother Combs read for us, in Titus 2, verse 12 says, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, knowing that the Lord could come at any moment, should cause us to deny anything which would hurt our testimony in any way." Denying ungodliness, anything unlike God, worldly lust. 1 John 2, it tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." Knowing that we have a blessed hope should cause us to live a more godly life here in this world. Knowing we're going to meet God. We're going to meet Jesus. And someday, I believe, when you and I meet the Lord face to face, and see those nail-scarred hands, those nail-scarred feet, that thorn-pierced brow, we're going to wonder, why did I not live down there on the earth a more godly life? Why was not I more sold out to Jesus than I was? Did you know what? The book of James says it like this. In verse 4 of chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, men and women, boys and girls, there's such a thing, friends, as spiritual adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. I would encourage each one of us to get off the fence. Get off the fence. Live for the Lord or the devil won. I'm talking to myself this morning too, friends. We need to live a more godly life knowing that out there somewhere, maybe today, the rapture is going to take place. Friends, I tell you, we need to be ready. Jesus came today. I trust, as I've said here many times, I trust every precious soul we have on our church roll back there. I trust every person would be raptured out and be forever with the Lord. I trust you know the Lord today. I trust you have been to the fountain of water of life and have drunk waters of salvation. Paul went on and said to Titus that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is where we need to let our light shine. Jesus said in Matthew 5, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Paul comes along and says that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. He said in 1 Thessalonians that we should walk honestly toward them that are without. 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. First, knowing that we have the blessed hope should cause us to live a more godly life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with Him in glory. Colossians 1, verses 1 through 4. My friend, the Lord is coming. There was a Christian one time said to another Christian, there's one letter difference between you and me. You love the world, and I love the Word. W-O-R-L-D, W-O-R-D. We need to love the Word, to love the Word. We also need to love people, and that's what the Word means in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, humanity, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Second, the blessed hope should cause us to love more faithfully and sacrificially. You know what the Bible says? He that's born of God is born of love. For God is love. There should never be a person that we'd ever meet that we would not be able to say to them, I love you. And really mean it. Our love needs to be genuine. And the prayer of my heart is the people out in the community of Airport Gardens would say about our church, my, how they love one another. How they love each other in that church. We need to have a holy baptism of love, I believe. Love. 1 Corinthians 13 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible, the love chapter. Paul said in the last verse of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And he goes right into chapter 13. What a chapter that is. If we don't have love in our hearts, you know what? The Bible says we're just making a noise. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. First verse of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Just making a noise if we don't have love. Real, genuine, heartfelt love for people. Paul goes on in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and he says, though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. You know what I believe the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit is? Is love. That's what Paul said. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love. And the greatest of these is love. Is there anyone in your life that you have ever met that you cannot say to them, I love you? My friend, when Brother Casey comes to preach for us beginning April the 25th, we each one need to come to God's house full of love and allow the Holy Spirit to use us during that whole week. We can speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and we don't have love, it's nothing. Just making a noise. Knowing the blessed hope lies out there somewhere, maybe today, cause us to love more faithfully and more sacrificially. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. That's almost what 1 John 3:16 says. This verse says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, where we read about the Lord's Supper. In one of those verses, he says that you tarry one for another. Look out for each other. Love each other. Pray for each other. For he that loveth not his brother or sister whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Knowing we have the blessed hope that may today be a reality, cause us to live more godly life, should cause us to love more faithfully and sacrificially. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. No one, friend, should ever make us so small that we should hate them. And third, the blessed hope should cause us to look more expectantly. How many of us gathered here this morning believe that the Lord could come back at any moment? Let me read that verse, that question one more time. How many of us believe that the Lord could come back at any moment? Just answer that question in your own heart. Did you know what I believe this? If really and truly, deep down in our heart, if we really believe that, it would cause a drastic change in our lives. If we really believe that, really and truly believed it, let us live expecting the Lord to come at any moment. We would steer a straighter course if we look farther down the road, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, here in chapter 2 of Titus, he mentions God, our Savior, about three times. He calls Jesus God. God the Son. Thank God for that. In verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And down in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 3. It says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Jesus was God in the flesh. God the Son, as well as the Son of God. Many songs have been written about the second coming. The one the choir sang. One the gardener sang today. The last verse of It May Be at Morn that the choir sang says, one day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glories will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Can you say that Jesus is yours today? Are you His? Verse 14 of Titus 2 says, who gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us. Why? That He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Down in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Titus. It's according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you believe Jesus is coming again? Is He your Savior? Fanny Crosby said this in one of her songs, when my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see. I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. And I shall know, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. And I shall know by the print of the nails in His hands. Do you know this Savior? Are you looking for the blessed hope? I trust every boy and girl, every man and woman here this morning are saved and are living. I trust we're all living the way God would have us to live. I trust we're loving the way God would have us to love. I trust we're looking for that blessed hope. Brother Tom is going to come to lead us in our invitation. Page 215 is Melanie and Linda come to play for us. The prayer of my heart is, friends, that you'll do what this song is saying. That you'll let Him have His way with you, 215, as we prepare for the invitation. I trust you're ready. More than that, I trust you're living for Jesus. As we stand to sing, 215. We sing this song, I mention this. The last part of that chorus says, 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. It's always best. And if we give the Lord our best, I believe the Lord will turn right around and give us His best. In the parable of the prodigal son, that dad said to his servants, go and get the best robe and put it on him. It's always best to let the Lord have His way with us. If we don't know that now, we'll find that out when He comes again or when we go to meet Him in death or at the rapture. It's best for the Lord to have His way with us. Let's sing that second stanza.